Item number 8 on today's calendar, Senate Bill 2430 sub A by Senator Miller, an act relating to food and drugs, the Rhode Island Cannabis Act. Chairman Miller.
Thank you. Mr. President and fellow members of the Senate, 100 years ago, Rhode Island was one of two states not to ratify the Volstead Act, the 18th Amendment that prohibited the sale of alcoholic beverages. We may have anticipated that prohibition could do more harm than good, especially to minorities, including Italians, the Irish, and other recently arrived immigrants. Although it may be too late for Rhode Island to be a pioneer with cannabis, it is not too late to do what is right and begin to repair damage caused by prohibition of cannabis. Many of the most important components of this legislation are designed to help those most seriously harmed by prohibition, including automatic expungement, improved access to medical cannabis, and establishment of a social equity fund with reserved licenses, including co-ops. Before I outline some of the major components of this bill, there are several people I wish to thank. President Ruggiero and his Chief of Staff, Jake Visalian, Majority Leader McCaffrey, Chair Coyne, and many, many current former senators and representatives, current and former representatives, especially Representative Scott Slater. Current and formerly staff attorneys, including Steve Hayes, Nicole Verdi, Nicole McCarty, and many, many others, including members and staff of the 2010 Commission to study the prohibition of marijuana. The reality is that cannabis is here in Rhode Island already. Rhode Islanders can purchase it easily on the illicit market or just across the state border. We already have all of the challenges of cannabis, but we have none of the safeguards and none of the resources that come with it. I have heard the concerns expressed by my colleagues and others about issues such as driving under the influence. The fact that it is illegal to drive while intoxicated, that does not change under this bill. Breathalyzer tests were not widely available and in use until the 1970s, and even then the technology continued to evolve where we are today. This bill provides us with the greater resources for enforcement and to improve testing. We worked with the Attorney General to keep the law close to the way it exists now in terms of driving under the influence. We also allowed for the Commission's Advisory Board to work with the latest science as testing improves. As in other states that have legalized cannabis, one of the significant benefits is that the revenue from cannabis sales can be directed towards additional resources for law enforcement and improved officer training for dealing with driving under the influence. Similarly, new resources from the sale of cannabis can be directed towards substance use disorders and mental health issues and whenever else is deemed appropriate. And this is involved in the 17 other states that have approved this structure. There are resources that don't exist now, especially the reality that cannabis is readily available all around us. Under our current policy of prohibition, we already have all of the challenges and societal ills, but we lack the regulatory framework to provide safeguards and the associated revenue stream. To outline the bill for you, the bill for us today, based on all the hard work of the people I mentioned and many of your input as senators and the hearing process that we experience, permits the sale and possession up to 1 ounce of cannabis for those aged 21 and up, with no more than 10 ounces for personal use kept in a primary residence. It would also allow Rhode Islanders to grow a small amount of their own cannabis at home. The bill would authorize adult recreational sales as of December 1st of this year, and eliminate the current fees charged to patients and caregivers for the registration in this state's medical marijuana program, among other changes. The legislation establishes a 10% state cannabis excise tax that will be imposed in addition to the 7% sales tax plus 3% that goes to local municipalities where the retailers are located. The bill allows for a total of 33 licensed cannabis retailers statewide, including the 9 approved compassion centers that could become hybrid medical recreational retailers. These retailers will be distributed across 6 zones. A 3-member cannabis control commission will be appointed by the governor with input from the Speaker of the House and approval of the Senate. That commission will be assisted by a cannabis advisory board and the existing administrative office of cannabis regulation within the Department of Business Regulation. That office will handle the transition to legal recreational use, including issuing hybrid licensing to existing compassion centers and cultivators. The bill allows municipalities to opt out of allowing marijuana sales in their community by referendum this November, although those currently hosting compassion centers will not have that option. Those hosting existing licensed cultivators or testing labs will be allowed to opt out, although the existing facilities will be grandfathered in. The bill also adds a procedure for a community that opted out to revisit that issue in later years. It allows cities and towns to pass an ordinance banning cannabis use in public places as they deem fit. The bill requires cannabis sold at retail to be tested. Finally, I want to address one of the most important factors of this legislation, social equity. Social equity was a major focus for us throughout the development of this bill. We strove to address the past wrongs in a couple of ways, including through automatic expungement and by reserving half of the new licenses for impacted communities. Following testimony and months of discussion with advocates, stakeholders, and the judiciary, the bill has been amended to provide for automatic expungement by July 1, 2024, and of any prior civil violation, misdemeanor, or felony conviction for possession of cannabis that would be decriminalized by this bill. Individuals will not be required to file a request or pay a fee or have a hearing. It also provides an expedited process for those who wish to have their record expunged earlier. The bill aims to reduce barriers to participation for those communities that have long been disproportionately affected by cannabis prohibition. The proposal uses licensing fees and penalties to fund a technical assistance and grants to applications and communities that have been impacted, and reserves one license in each of the 6 districts for a social equity license and another in each district for a co-op license. Finally, for the participants in this state's existing medical program, the bill eliminates the current fees imposed upon patients and authorized purchasers and caregivers for registry cards and plant tags, effective when adult recreational sales begin in December. There is much to be done this session and in the future that is overdue and urgent, and much of it potentially more impactful than this bill before you. But every effort has a moment and a time when we can agree to move forward to a better Rhode Island. So I ask you for your support and move passage. And at the appropriate time, I have an amendment.
Chairman Miller moves passage of the act. Seconded by Senator McCaffrey, Senator Goodwin, Senator Felag, Senator Sosnowski, Senator Lombardi, Senator DeMario, Senator Costa, Senator Lawson, Senator Corkin, Senator Anderson, Senator Max, Senator Archibald, Senator Coleman, Senator Cano, Senator Bell, Senator Murray, Senator Valverde, and Senator Mendez. Senator Miller, would you like to offer your amendment at this moment?
Yes, the amendment is LC005360/2.
Senator Miller offers LC005360/2. Would you care to elaborate on that, Senator?
Yeah. On page 103, lines 4 and 5, by restoring the stricken language, except the substance classified as marijuana, this addresses an error based on Attorney General language on life sentencing. I move passage.
Senator Miller moves passage of the amendment, second by Senator Bell, Senator Oyer, Senator Costa, Senator Calkin. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Bell.
Thank you so much. I just want to very quickly thank the leadership for this very important amendment. Thank Chairman Miller, and a special shout out to Attorney Hayes for making this important amendment happen.
Thank you, Senator Bell. Further discussion on the amendment. The clerk will please unlock the machine. If all members have cast their vote on the amendment, the clerk will lock the machine. There are 37 votes in the affirmative, none in the negative, and the act passes. Senator Miller moves the act as amended. Seconded by Senator Coleman, Senator Cano, Senator Bell, Senator Archibald, Senator Valverde, Senator Mendy, Senator Murray, Senator Costa, Senator Mario, Senator Calkin. Discussion on the act as amended. Senator Mendes.
Thank you, Senate President. I did just have a short remark to share with the chamber about my deep feelings about this piece of legislation. And I did also promise Rep. Rangel Vassell a brief poem before the end of the session, so that's shout out to her, and also a shout out to Rep. Felix for her work on automatic expungement. I'm tremendously grateful to her. Joy and grief, celebration and sorrow, praise and apology. As I come into the Senate today, I ask myself, can these walls contain them both? The dichotomy that lies inside of me, the ability to celebrate a historic moment that I have the honor of participating in, and my ability to grieve my participation in an institution that waited way too long on justice. Can these halls of power absorb them both? Can they absorb both the resounding sounds of backslapping and boisterous praise while not drowning out the echoes of generations who have called for liberation? From the war on drugs, from the war on black joy, from the war on indigenous people's place in the story? Can these halls withstand the tension of both saying job well done to a well-crafted piece of legislation and also I'm sorry? I'm sorry to the generations incarcerated. I'm sorry to the over-policed and underprotected. I'm sorry to the targeted black and brown communities. I'm sorry to the robbed indigenous people. And I'm sorry to the low income and low prioritized. If this is to be a true historic moment, void of whitewashing, if we're seeking cannabis justice and redemption, then we will let the marble and the gold of this building absorb the apology for the ages, and we must say our truth in order to be absolved. We must trust that this institution can both celebrate all that it has become and all that it wants to do, while also acknowledging hundreds of years of when it didn't. We will acknowledge that if this legislation was left in the hands of negligent or greedy or political or corporate, it may not be as just at all. But what is before us today is a product of sweat and tears and screams of people outside of the halls of power holding us accountable. The activists and advocates who refuse to let up on automatic expungement, who know that justice for some is not justice at all, who refuse to be satisfied with the option that some could get rich on cannabis while the most impacted communities did not get relief and participate in the coming wealth. Any justice we have is because of you and those who came before you. I know this chamber can absorb this duality, can be with both of it, the confluence of joy and grief, celebration and sorrow, praise and apology, because a little girl from the projects, a Cape Verdean Puerto Rican daughter of a prison chaplain, can reconcile the intense pride of being part of cannabis history with you and reconcile the intense need to apologize. If I can hold the vibrations in my body, so can this chamber. So to every advocate, legislator, activist who made this possible and got this right, I say thank you. And to everyone who was deemed criminal, robbed of a future under a system that got it wrong for far too long, I say forgive us.
Senator Bell.
Thank you so much, Mr. President, and thank you to everyone who helped get us to this moment of what I think is our actually passing this bill into law this year. It's a very significant step, something I've been working on for, as an activist, starting about a decade ago. I'm really glad that we are finally doing this. I think it's a little too late, but I'm glad we're here. It's better late than never. This isn't a perfect bill. No bill at the end of a long legislative process is. But there is some work that I think we're going to have to continue on this legislation. I'm very glad that we included automatic expungement for convictions. But I do still believe it is important to expunge charges that were dropped. And I think it's important to note that this bill does not do that. I really love the language that was in the bill that we passed last year that eliminated incarceration in the training school for very minor use of cannabis. That's something I hope that eventually we can get back into law. I think that there was some very good language dating all the way back to Senate Bill 420. Wasn't perfect. To create some diversionary offenses for the criminal element and criminal penalty section of this bill so that we don't have to rely on the fairly aggressive nature of the 30-year felony. But I'm glad that we've moved forwards in so many respects. This bill is still a tremendous step forwards for the state of Rhode Island. We have some more work to do, but we have a bill here that we can celebrate, a bill here I'm happy to vote for. And I really want to thank everyone, from everyone in this chamber to all the activists outside this chamber who fought for decades for this moment to help us get here. And I'm really excited that I believe we are finally doing this.
Senator Bell, Chairwoman Kano.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. I am rising in support of this needed legislation. I want to say thank you to Chairman Miller and all the leadership and also the senators that have worked very hard on this piece of legislation. Specifically, I think that I heard Senator Quesada in committee last week expressing this very much gratitude and appreciation for including the automatic expungement, which impact communities of color, or people of color and low-income communities. And just like the advocates and the activists have like worked very hard for this, it's a time to celebrate. And it is a time for me to recognize my own rep, Rep Phyllis from Pawtucket, has been a voice. And I think that it is a step that we so much need it, and we finally here, and we need to celebrate this progress, and we need to just make sure we acknowledge the hard work of ours from many advocates, many staff members. And so with that, I really hope that my colleagues support this legislation today. Thank you, Senator President.
Thank you, Chairwoman Kano. Further discussion? Senator Raptakis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I first want to congratulate Senator Miller. He didn't spend days, weeks, months on this legislation. He spent years. And I want to personally thank you, Senator Miller, for getting this bill finally to passage from both chambers and probably a signature by the governor. But I also have concerns on this bill. Rhode Island doesn't have a measurable amount like alcohol to charge someone with driving under impairment of marijuana. So basically, I would say that the way the regulations are written in the bill, it's equivalent to probably smoking cigarettes, so it's a violation of policy. It should be more equivalent to consuming alcohol, because you can't consume alcohol while you're operating a motor vehicle. Now, all violations of policy in the bill are not the jurisdiction also of law enforcement, like smoking in public. And the bill doesn't make consumption in a vehicle criminal like our open container laws. I looked at a memo from our law enforcement, and they brought up a couple other points that I think hopefully in the future we can work in correcting some of these deficiencies. One of the most important issues is the testimony that drug recognition experts is not recognized in Rhode Island. Could make it impossible for law enforcement to successfully prosecute a case based on behavioral evaluations alone. I think one of the other important issues is for public safety and public wellness. They added the perspective that the current bill is woefully inadequate on the question of restricting marijuana use in public. As written, the bill would allow for cannabis use, including smoking, eating, or vaping, by vehicle passengers on public roads and sidewalks, on campsites, at parks, beaches, and playgrounds, at sporting and public venues, in businesses, restaurants, cafes, or bars, in common areas of apartment buildings or condominiums. This creates a public nuisance by putting the privileges of marijuana users above the rights of those who, for example, do not wish to breathe in marijuana smoke while out in the public. So I think we've still got a lot of work to do. I know this bill is coming before us for the first time, and hopefully in the future that we can correct some of these issues that I've brought up. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Packers. Further discussion on the act before us. Senator De La Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a difficult bill for me because I was on the fence and have been for some time about marijuana. But for several reasons, including many constituents that reached out, I'll be voting no. But there are a couple of things that concern me. One of the main goals of legalizing marijuana is to reduce the black market for marijuana. But we know that black markets still persist, even in states where the drug is legalized. In some states, such as California, the black market for marijuana has actually increased. One major problem with the presence of illegal markets in a state where marijuana is legalized is that law enforcement has no way of knowing where the consumer purchased the marijuana. This ambiguity in a product's origin has allowed for illegal farms to thrive by offering lower price than the premium rate for legalized marijuana. Another major concern is that since marijuana is currently illegal on the federal level, there is not a nationwide set of regulations to control the quality of the marijuana that is being produced. As I was reading about Colorado post-legalization, for every dollar gained in tax revenue, Coloradans spend approximately $4.50 to mitigate the effects of legalization. 69% of marijuana users say that they have driven under the influence of marijuana at least once. 27% admit to driving under the influence on a daily basis. The estimated cost for DUIs for people who tested positive for marijuana only in 2016 approached $25 million. For those who care about the environment, marijuana industry uses enough electricity to power 32,000 homes in 2016. In 2016, the marijuana industry was responsible for approximately 400,000 pounds of CO2 emissions. The drug should not be legal to use while driving. The bill does not address this, as Senator Raftak has mentioned, and it's also legal for anyone in the vehicle smoking, which could obviously impair the driver, which is a serious concern. And lastly, there is currently a prohibition on consuming alcohol in public, which is why we see it wrapped up in a paper bag. But this bill allows for the consumption of marijuana out in the open and public, exposing children and those with lung diseases to secondhand smoke. And again, as the senator from Coventry mentioned, beaches and other places where families congregate. So for those last two reasons, unfortunately, I will be voting no. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dela Cruz. Senator Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to speak on the other side. This is an extremely difficult bill for me. I cannot say how many times I've gone from yes to no and no to yes, even today, even while I stand here. While I'm going to look pragmatically, as we know and we've all heard, everybody has great points. I have disagreements on the other side of the aisle and agreements, and the same within the aisle that I represent. It is decriminalized. It's legalized en masse in Connecticut. We have medical marijuana cards that many, many, many people have for multiple reasons. It's out there. I agree. It's not a perfect bill. I did vote no on it last year. I brought my concerns up. While they weren't addressed, and I mentioned that in committee, I did vote out of committee this year with the hopes that we many times in this chamber take a bill that's been formulated, and as we see issues, whether it's insurance or medical issues, farming, commerce, we see things that we could have made better, and we change little paragraphs and lines to address them. Again, I'm torn, but I think it's a starting point that I'm willing to vote, and I'm going to vote yes, but we need to be very cognizant of how we move forward and address concerns like Mr. Raptakis and my colleague, Senator Dela Cruz, mentioned, and ones that I've mentioned in the chamber. So it is a difficult, difficult decision for me, and I will be supporting it this time.
Thank you, Senator Rogers. Senator Archibald.
Thank you, Mr. President. In years past, I would never sign the legislation with Senator Miller, and I was a pretty hard no on the bill for the simple reason that I don't think juveniles should be using any recreational drug, and that was an absolute dead stop for me. But Senator Miller, to his credit, has worked tirelessly to clean up that provision, to earmark monies towards any type of preventative measures that can be instituted, and he's already explained that at length. I don't need to belabor there. So I was satisfied finally, never 100%. We need to be vigilant in society and make sure that we're the ones who watch out for our youth and make sure that they're not going down improper paths. But that said, I want to briefly address what Senator Raptakis has brought up, because we talked about this in the judiciary. So when it comes to impairment, it's important to understand, if you're not familiar with it, that you don't get a DUI because you're drinking and driving. And this may be counterintuitive. It's not illegal to drink and drive. Let that sink in for a minute. It's illegal to be impaired and drive. And the same thing holds for marijuana. If you're impaired and you create a traffic offense and you're stopped by an officer and an investigation commences, and in part of that investigation they determine that you're not under the influence of alcohol, but let's say cannabis, and you've shown indicia, indicators of the impairment, then they're going to bring in a drug recognition expert. This bill calls for more drug recognition experts. It earmarks money so that more can be hired, which is sorely needed anyway, because many departments don't have drug recognition experts. So if you stop somebody and you suspect that they're under the influence of some intoxicating drug, say it's not marijuana, say it's opioids or something else, and they can't operate safely, these drug recognition experts are trained like paramedics. It's a very extensive, very detailed course that, frankly, not many can pass. And so if they have the training, that training then results in the officer running the individual through a series of tests well beyond what you would consider to be just a normal test for field sobriety under a DUI. And then if they're found to be impaired, they're charged and processed just like anybody else for a DUI. So respectfully to my brother, Senator Raptakis, I have great respect for, I think it's important to clear that part up. The law already exists to deal with drivers who are impaired in this state, irrespective of whether it's a DUI or any other intoxicating drug. And we did take the per se part of the rule out. That's Latin, meaning that if you have drugs in your system, right, you're automatically a DUI. Well, that doesn't work, because you could be on prescription drugs and get stopped, and suddenly you're a DUI. It's wrong. That needed to come out of the law, and it is out of the law now, so that the focus is on the case law, which is whether you're impaired or not. And I had to rise to clear that up. Other than that, I do like, I'll end with this. I like the provision that's in there, Josh, about municipalities being able to restrict places. You know, I'm all for adults using it in their house. That's fine. I don't want to walk down the street and see some young kids smoking pot. So I'm glad that the municipalities can restrict that. I think that's very important, and I respect that greatly for you. But for all those reasons and a host of the others, I'll be supporting the bill.
Thank you, Senator Archibald. Further discussion on the act. Leader McCaffrey.
Thank you, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. I proudly rise to support this bill here today, and knowing that getting to this point, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the hard work, perseverance, and dedication of Chairman Miller. Chairman Miller, as Senator Aptakis said, has been working on this for a long time. Not days, not weeks, not years, but over a decade he started this mission to move forward on this bill. His commitment has been out there, and it's great that he's been doing that. Mr. President, in November of 2020, you charged Senator Miller and I with the task of developing a piece of legislation, cannabis legislation, that we could bring before this body. I was proud to have worked with Senator Miller on that. However, it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the staff here in the Senate. And first, I'd like to thank Jake, who was with Senator Miller and I all along the way through the task of doing this. He drafted the initial bill. He took from the different states and cut it together as Senator Miller and I were meeting with him and bringing up different issues. And he brought it to a point where we went to our legal counsel. And I want to thank Nicole Verdi, who was here previously, and our current legal counsel, Steve Hayes. They collaborated with Jake and Senator Miller and I to come up with a piece of legislation that we did bring before this body last year. And this body passed and sent over to the House. After our session last year, we were fortunate that Senator Miller and I worked with Representative Slater and the Speaker to come up with the legislation that is here before us today. However, through the hearing process with the bill that we came forward with today, there were changes that had to be made, and Senator Miller was always open to changes. Representative Slater was always open to changes, and Speaker Sakach and I wanted to help them get through this process. So, Mr. President, I want to thank you for giving us the ability to do that, and hopefully this body will move this to the House and the governor will sign it in the next couple of days. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Leader McCaffrey. Further discussion? Clerk will unlock the machine. If all members have recorded their vote, the clerk will lock the machine. There are 32 votes in the affirmative, 6 in the negative, and the act passes. Leader McCaffrey.
Mr. President, if that piece of legislation can be transmitted to the House forthwith.
Hearing no objection, Mr. Leader, so ordered.